is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I've heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Sunday, as you know, is our Pledge Sunday, our Commitment Sunday. I hope and I pray that you're committed to God's cause each and every day, not just on one particular Sunday out of the year. But on this Sunday, we sort of examine that. We examine what it means to be committed through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness, committed to God, committed to God's church. And you say, "Yes, yes, I'm committed. Yes, I get it. I understand that." But then, you know, it's not something that the church takes for granted, because I think it's not something that you take for granted. It's certainly not something that our world takes for granted. Today, instead of saying, "I'm committed to God's cause," today we have to stop and think, "Why am I committed? Why am I committed to the cause of the church? Why am I committed to God in this way? Why am I willing to give up my precious time, my precious limited resources, my prayers? Why am I willing to give up hours of service? Why am I willing to witness for God? Why am I willing to do that?" Because that is a question that we ask. The children of Israel sort of mirrored that whole concept, because they knew that they were slaves in Egypt. They knew that they were bound there. They knew that something greater was in store for them from the tellings of their forefathers, going back to Abraham. They understood that they were called to be God's people, called to be something more than just ordinary citizens of the world. And now they found themselves out of bondage, away from the Egyptians, no longer slaves, but they found themselves in the wilderness. They found themselves in the wilderness. And in this passage, in a very beautiful and powerful way, they examine what this wilderness is all about. Why are we in the wilderness? Why are we here? And they start that in the latter part of verse 3. It says, "For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They're there in the wilderness. And for the first time, they realize, well, we may have been slaves in Egypt, but at least we had something to eat. We may have been slaves in Egypt, but we were protected. We weren't just out here in the wilderness with nothing going on. We weren't abandoned out here. And so their fears started to get the better of them as they understood this wilderness is real. And this wilderness is exactly that. It's barren. It doesn't provide food. It barely provided, and even God later had to provide water for them as well, because it was a real wilderness. It was a real barren land. When we face the wilderness, and we all do, and you can't say the young people are immune from that, because we know better than that too. Young people face the wilderness as well, the wilderness of life. When we face that, then we want to say, why am I in this wilderness? Why am I here? Why do I have to face these things? Where is God in the midst of all of these things? Years ago, I was with a group of pastors who were celebrating a new chapel that had been built on the campus of what was then called Dutchman Correctional Institute. Now it's Tiger River Correctional Institute. And through donations of churches and individuals, this chapel had been built on their campus. And so we had come as a small group to dedicate the chapel, to have the first service in it and dedicate it for the prisoners and for the inmates and all that, and to have a day of celebration of this chapel that had been donated through private funds and the churches raising money to have a chapel on the campus. And so it was a very good day. And so I arrived with this group, and we were greeted, and we were brought in. And the main building, there were many inmates there, and they were sort of lining the halls, and they were there. And as I walked past them, they were not happy to see us. We were joyful. We were so glad to be that this had been accomplished, it had been done. There had been a lot of obstacles in the way, but it had been done, and it was a great thing, and it was going to give them a place where they could gather and feel a little bit, perhaps, the presence of God right there in the midst of prison. And yet they were not happy, and some of them would not even look up at us, and they kept their heads down. And others who looked at us, I would speak as I walked by, and I realized they all had a certain look. And I was questioning if I was reading it right, because they all had the look of fear. And I was thinking, what? Why would they be afraid of a group of pastors? You know, we're walking through there. We're just a group of pastors. They knew we were a group of pastors. But they all had this look of fear. And so later, after the celebration and all that that took place and everything, later the warden was with us, and so I just asked him. I said, that was a little weird. I said, when the prisoners were there in the building, it wasn't all the prisoners, but it was a large group of them we walked through. And I said, they didn't look very happy. They didn't look pleased that we were here. It was sort of strange, but I thought they looked fearful. And he looked at me, and he sort of shook his head, and he said, we had a big disturbance this morning before y'all got here. He said it was pretty big. He said we had to put it down hard before y'all got here. He said we just got it all quieted down right before he got here. And he said we really had to mete out some bad punishment and everything else to get them to quiet down. And I thought, here we walked in thinking that we were coming to celebrate a grand and glorious day. We walked into this wilderness that they were going through, this wilderness of fear, this wilderness of why am I here? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this place that's harsh and cruel at times. I don't want to be in the midst of this. That is the wilderness that we saw. That was the wilderness that I saw in their faces. That is the wilderness that is out in the world and even within our lives as well. The wilderness in which we see. We see this wilderness that is before us, and it's very real, and it's very harsh, and it can be very cruel. and yet we are committed, just as the children of Israel were committed. We're committed not to return to the bondage of sin, but instead to continue on. And we're committed also to offer others to understand that we understand the wilderness, that we understand that very well because we've been there ourselves and we will be there again. But that in the face of the wilderness, we know that God is with us and that God has called upon us to be committed to help others who are in the midst of the wilderness, to say to them, yes, I can witness to that fact because I've been there myself and therefore I understand your fears, your frustration, the fact that you feel alone. Why are we committed? Because the wilderness is very real. But then it continues on. We see indeed exactly what is going on with the children of Israel. And they receive this word of hope, hope in the midst of the wilderness. They were hungry and they didn't see how they could be fed. I mean, that's a real thing. That is frightening. They were in the midst of that kind of wilderness. And then they received this hope. God is going to pour down bread and meat so that you'll have bread and meat to eat because God has heard you in the midst of the wilderness. And so as it says in verse 10, which is one of my other favorite verses of the Bible, says, and as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. They looked toward the wilderness, and there, as they looked toward the wilderness, this barren place that could very well have taken their lives, the glory of the Lord appeared there before them in the wilderness. That is such a powerful statement. Even as they faced the wilderness, even as they looked out there, they saw God. God there in the midst of the wilderness, God there exactly where they did not expect to see God. There was God in the midst of the wilderness. Sarah Young, in her devotional book, Jesus Calling, has one day where she says, this day you can practice the presence of God. I love that. Practice the presence of God. Not just, yes, God's with me, I get it, got to go on. But practice the presence of God. Practice the understanding God is with me. No matter what we face, no matter what the wilderness has there before us, to see the glory of God in the cloud, in the wilderness. Practice the presence of God. But then she says, or you can practice the presence of problems. That is so powerful. You have a choice. It's why we're committed to God. You have a choice. You can either practice the presence of God or you can practice the presence of problems. We're really good at practicing the presence of problems. That's just so easy to do. Problems are always there, you know, always present. And we don't have to work hard to practice them. We're sort of used to practicing the presence of problems. But instead of that, Sarah Young says, you have a choice. You can practice the presence of God. Looking toward the wilderness, understanding the reality of the wilderness, and instead of seeing the wilderness and seeing the threat, to be able to see the presence of God. That is amazing. And then, of course, they experience the presence of God. As it says in verse 14, when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. Different aspects of the wilderness in this passage. Three different aspects of what the wilderness presented to them. But here they find the manna. Here they experience that. Here, when they least experienced it, least expected it, they found the manna that would provide for them, the manna that would be consistently there for them until they no longer needed it. When God saw that they were self-sufficient, then God removed the manna from them. But not until then, not until they were ready. to experience the presence of God in the wilderness, to experience the grace of God, to experience the wonder of God, to experience the glory of God. That is another reason why we are committed, I believe, why you are committed to the work of the kingdom. In 1999, if you remember, we had another hurricane, Hurricane Floyd. You go, I think I remember Hurricane Floyd. It was a very devastating hurricane. It was one which, if I'm correct in this, maybe since 1999 this changed, but at that time it was the largest evacuation that the United States had ever seen, the largest number of people that had to be evacuated because of Hurricane Floyd and the devastation that Hurricane Floyd was causing or would cause. And so if you remember, the whole coastline of South Carolina was mandatory. Everyone be evacuated from the coastline. And then they realized a lot of people would be heading upstate, and so they were putting out calls for people to offer shelter. I don't know if Bethesda was involved with that or not. I was serving Broad Street in Clinton, and we had a new facility, a new family life building, and we had just gotten it certified as a Red Cross shelter. And so we were, you know, Clinton is right there on Highway Interstate 26, and so the Red Cross came to us and said, these people will be coming, and we'll be sending them right here. So we ended up with 350 people in our facility. They were there for about 4 or 5 days while the hurricane came into the coast. And while they were there, I tried to talk to people and, you know, help them in different situations and all this sort of stuff. And we're trying to keep lines of communication with family and all this sort of stuff going on. But there was one family, man, wife, and three young children. And so I was talking with them. And then I came to realize the mom was sort of laughing about it. And she said, yes, she said, Ashley's going to turn 6 tomorrow. And she said, I had planned to have a birthday party for her, but she said, here we are in a cot in a gymnasium, you know, and here we are. And she said, but it's okay. She said, we'll just try to make her feel like it's a special birthday and this sort of stuff. And the husband was standing there, and he said, and the scary part is that we're from Surfside Beach, and we live in a mobile home on Surfside Beach. So he said, we're pretty sure we're going to come back to nothing left whatsoever. But he said, you know, we'll face every day and we'll keep on going. Well, of course, I got on the phone with some church members and said, we got a little girl, she's turning 6. I said, let's have a party. Let's get the children of the church together and in the community or whatever it takes, and let's have this big birthday party for her. So sure enough, church members showed up, children showed up, and we threw this giant birthday party for Ashley, who was turning 6, and other people there in the facility seemed to relax and enjoy all the children there celebrating a birthday party. And in the midst of the devastation, we demonstrated the presence of God. That no matter what is going on, no matter what's happening, no matter what you can't imagine would be still out there in the wilderness, your home completely destroyed, that even there are people who want to demonstrate to you the presence of God. God is here. God's grace is always available to you. The family was able to relax and enjoy that, and the little girl, of course, had a great time, as did the other children. Just so I complete the story, when they returned to Surfside, their mobile home was intact, was undamaged by Hurricane Floyd, which was quite nice. To experience the presence of God in the wilderness. The children of Israel experienced that through the manna. They saw, they ate the gift of God. We have that ability. We have that opportunity to provide for others in the midst of the wilderness, just as God provides for us through our commitment to God. Let us pray.